The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
Here's Bill Myers.
All right, well, actually, if you're going to call, it's for Mr. Outdoors, because it's the Outdoor Report now, sponsored by Oregon Truck and Auto Authority on Airway Drive in Medford. And, of course, Greg Roberts at rogueweather.com, always holding that down. We'll talk about some fire. A little bit of politics, because we can't help it, because we're just a couple of guys just shooting the breeze about that sort of thing. And, Greg, why don't we first go down to what we're looking at this weekend as far as getting out. I mean, it just looks like it's going to be beautiful out here in Southern Oregon. I'm happy about this. 91, 92, no problem, right? I could be that all summer, and I'm fine with that. What are you thinking?
Well, yeah, I mean, when you look at these temperatures, the first thing I notice is, although it sounds like, oh my gosh, 92, 91, that sounds hot.
No.
In reality, compared to what the average daily high temperature is in Medford at this time of the year, we're slightly below average. I'm not kidding.
Yeah.
Average high temperature right now, we're in that time of the year where we're 93, 94. And so when we're getting 91, 92,
yeah,
there you go. That's what I mean. We're slightly below average.
When I was driving in this morning, Greg, it was actually cool enough for me to turn the heater on this morning on the PT coming in.
Yeah.
It was like 54, 55, you know, in my neighborhood. It was kind of cool. I loved it.
Yeah, you can't beat this, and especially after what we went through right after the 4th of July, you know, I don't know anybody's really going to complain about this. Last night, our first pitch temperature,
mm-hmm.
because we do have to give that, because if people, why it matters, I have no idea, but there's a thing in baseball that you know what time the first pitch was made, and you know what time the temperature was. When I was working for the A's here in Medford, they also actually wanted to know the humidity level. Well, we don't give you the humidity level. We will give you the first pitch temperature.
Yeah.
It was 87 last night.
Oh, okay.
That is as low as we have been, I think, probably for the entire month of July so far for a Rogues game first pitch temperature.
Now, speaking of Rogues, though, and since you are the announcer there, this is the final weekend. It's going to wrap the season pretty soon, right?
This is it. We've got tonight, we've got tomorrow, and we've got Sunday, and that'll be it for our season. Now, tonight, because it is the owner of the team, Dave May's birthday, we're going to be celebrating, having a lot of fun. But we have what we called our red caps, our red jerseys, back in 2023. These were really popular with people, and people were always asking, hey, is it possible to buy that jersey?
Uh-huh.
Well, the answer had been no until tonight. Tonight, we're going to be auctioning off and selling those really popular red jerseys from 2023. So if you're listening to this and you ever wanted one of those, you want to show up at the ballpark tonight because you're going to have your chance to own one.
Glad to hear it.
And again, we are lucking out in so many ways that our wins right now that we're getting here in Medford is taking the vast majority of the smoke away from us. All the smoke from the park fire, thank goodness, is not coming anywhere close to us. But
now, is the park fire the one in
smoke? We do not expect significant smoke in Medford and Grants Pass through the entire weekend. That's why they dropped the air quality alert.
All right. Now, is the park fire Douglas County or is that a California fire? I don't know the names
of
the fire.
California fire.
Okay.
And I'll tell you what, this one is getting to be historic in so many different ways. You know, I was telling you off air, I posted it on Rogue Weather's Facebook page, but now everybody's going to hear it. I ran the numbers. It's being estimated at 164,286 acres this morning, 0% containment, by the way.
Mm.
It is burning a rate of 4,107.5 acres per hour. Take it even further, it's burning nearly 69 acres a minute.
That's a monster.
Yeah, and, you know, when you're trying to do the calculations, and, you know, with my background, I look at it for two different reasons. Number one, I look at it from incident command logistics side of it, and I'm trying to calculate how much resource am I going to need for a given situation. And in this case, it's basically, please send us everything you possibly can get, because the rate of spread on this thing is just astonishing. And then on the evacuation emergency management side of it, you've got to put your level 2 and 3 zones way out in front on this fire. Because like I said, its forward progression rate, it's burning 69 acres per hour.
Or a minute. You were saying minute, weren't you?
Hour.
Yeah.
You know, you can get into that. But, yeah, looking at their evacuation notices where they're ordering people, you need to get out. And people absolutely do. You will not survive this fire staying in your house and, you know, disregarding the order to leave. But when they're telling you, you need to start packing up and getting ready to go, that fire may look like it's way off in the distance, but it is gaining ground and coming at you rapidly.
Now, this park fire, this was, I'm just wondering, has this land burned recently? Because I know it was, just north of the campfire, and that was about, 8 years ago, right?
It's a mix. There are some areas that have burned previously in other fires, and you definitely can see it looking at all the fire webcams they have down there in California, and they're all over the place. There are areas that, I don't think have been touched by fires. Anything recent, at least looking at what I see with the trees, with the landscape, yeah, but like I said, yeah, it's definitely moved through some prior burn scars. There is no doubt about that.
Okay. And this one is suspected arson.
No, it's not suspected. It's proven. And the guy who started the fire is in custody. Law enforcement down there acted quickly. But, you know, yesterday morning, based on sources that I know are reliable out of Northern California and what they were saying, I knew this one, it was looking like it absolutely had to be arson. Well, then when Cal Fire put their statement out yesterday about the arrest, that it is arson, when they talked about how this individual started it, he pushed a burning car into a brush-filled ravine in Bidwell Park, on the northeast side of the city of Chico.
Yikes.
Deliberate, wanton act. So it's cut and dry. It's arson. What I'm hearing the investigators are trying to do right now is establish what exactly his mindset and motive was, and they are indeed considering the possibility that this may have been an act of terrorism.
What better way to get everybody hot and bothered, no pun intended, on something like that? And, to sweep 165,000 acres or whatever it is through your town. And I guess there's only been a handful of structures burnt so far, though.
Right? Well, I don't know about a handful, but what I can tell you, there are people embedded with Cal Fire that are taking videos out of the fire zone.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm already seeing, you know, paradise type, complete destruction. You see paved roads, you see driveways, you see hulks of burned out cars, you see the remains of buildings, and there's not much left.
Okay, now, if you're talking about burned out cars, then wait until you get the conspiracies on directed energy weapons and lasers.
It's already started, and I actually, you know, it's funny, I'm one of these guys that, you know, I will take a look at when people share stuff off of Rogue Weather, and I'll watch the comments to it. And I blocked 3 people off of Rogue Weather yesterday because we knew it was arson. Cal Fire said this is how it was done. And I had 3 people who were following Rogue Weather who had liked the page who are now blocked because they were spreading that directed energy weapon nonsense. I tolerate that just slightly better than I tolerate chemtrails.
Yeah, I know that. I get it coming from both sides, or all sides, I should say, on these kind of situations. All I'm saying is that big claims need big evidence that, you know, you can.
Exactly, and they never offer. for any. They just make the big claims. They don't show you how the directed energy weapons exist or what they work from. They never show you the sprayers on the planes allegedly spraying all this stuff into the atmosphere. Believe you me, if that kind of thing existed, somebody would be leaking it out.
And yet, and this is where I kind of look at the other side of this, though. There are geoengineering projects that are funded all the time, black box projects.
Without any question. That's why I kept it at chemtrails, though.
Uh-huh.
Because the chemtrails one, to me, absolutely, positively, there is zero proof to it. It's a bunch of people who flunk science trying to claim that things that have been witnessed in the skies since the dawn of time that mankind started recording it is now nefarious and people are up there in planes spraying stuff.
Okay, I'm going to just say right now, no, I am not going to be defending Greg or disagreeing with Greg or agreeing with him, folks. Talk to Greg on RogueWeather.com if you want to have at it. You know, it happens every time.
But again, this is not even a conversation I'm going to entertain. So here's what's going to happen. We block commenting on all of our posts. That started because of scammers, spammers, and pornographers. Mm. I got sick of it, and then all of a sudden I realized, oh, I can just block commenting on all my posts. That took away a lot of other stuff. Now, if you want to be a moron and you want to try and send me a personal message, have fun. Say everything you want to say, disparage my mother, disparage me, have fun, because about 30 seconds after I see it, it's going to be gone, and you are going to be gone. I'm not entertaining the conversation at all. Period. End of story.
Oh, no, you're anti-science.
Ha! No, I'm absolutely 100% science, and if you're believing in chemtrails, you're an idiot, and you flunk science.
Hmm. Are you saying that we've never had them, though? That there's never been any geoengineering going on?
Mm-hmm. No, yeah. I will say that unequivocally. We have never had the kind of thing that people are claiming are happening with spraying up in the sky that will produce absolute visible evidence. These simpletons can't wrap their minds around a basic scientific principle called condensation.
And
what happens in your bathroom when you take a shower and you look at your mirror? Did you spray something?
No.
Period. End of story.
All Next. Right. And by the way, and people were wondering, why don't you see contrails from the jets, you know, every time? Well, it depends on humidity and also temperature
exactly.
of the air layers.
Exactly. There are a lot of other factors that go into this. And I could fill the rest of the show going through all of that. But I got news for you. I've watched planes landing at the Medford Airport, coming in on approach. We're right there around Crater Lake Highway. There may be, 100 feet in the air, 200 mm-hmm. feet in the air?
Yep.
And in the right climatological conditions, they're producing contrails all the way to the ground. That's especially noticeable in the winter.
Yeah. No, I figured it's a matter of what the relative humidity is, temperature of the air, and I know, and I'll talk about these sort of things, and I just don't even want to go down the rabbit hole, and then people get really angry with me, but I consider myself, I just can't even do it anymore. But anyway, let's set aside.
And then some of those people laugh at me for believing in Bigfoot.
Yeah, they do. They do.
I got way more proof Bigfoot exists than you've got that chemtrails. The way you think it is actually being done.
Okay, the gauntlet has been laid down here, or thrown down. All right, Greg. All right. So before we take off, though, let's talk a little bit about best activity for this weekend.
Okay, now that I'll ratchet myself down.
Okay,
a little
yeah,
bit,
I just because I can hear that, the blood pressure going up. It's okay.
Yeah.
It's all right.
So, great way to take your blood pressure down, get in the outdoors. Relax. Again, we're really lucky right now that with our wind situation, we don't expect any major smoke impact in Jackson and Josephine counties through the weekend. The same will be true at the coast. The only blemish weather-wise out at the coast, we probably are going to be seeing small craft advisory conditions. But again, as it typically is, that's going to be more of an afternoon evening thing. So the mornings are allowing, you know, conditions favorable enough to get boats out on the water and fishing, salmon, bottom fish, crabbing. It's all been really good. So, yeah, the coast is an option, but here at home, nice favorable temperatures. We talked about that, slightly below average. So it's one of these kind of things that you can get out and do pretty much whatever you would like to do. And again, we talked about it a little bit. The Rogues are home finishing up their season. We've got games tonight, Saturday, and Sunday. And Sunday, by the way, for all you people going, I don't have money to do anything, you don't need money to come to the Rogues game on Sunday. It's free general admission.
Pretty
bring
cool.
Yourself, bring your family.
Pretty cool. Good story there.
Yep.
Greg, thanks for checking in. And I know, I know you're gonna get some incoming, so but that's okay.
Oh,
you're a big boy.
I
know you don't.
But on the other hand, I want to just quickly say, if you had any doubt at all that the media lies to you, that politicians lie to you, this border czar thing ought to completely rip that illusion away from you. You have been lied to for decades.
Well, I've decided that we can't hate it. We can't hate these individuals enough right now. Okay, so Greg, to wrap up this morning, this is from the Washington Free Beacon. It takes about a little over a minute, and it's perfect. It's like these are the mainstream media types now, including the Jake Tappers and various others. Okay, here we go.
She was put in charge of the border.
Nope.
She was put in charge of reaching out to the South and Central American countries to stem the immigration.
She wasn't the border czar.
She was not actually the border czar.
She is not the border czar.
She was never border czar.
She was not the border czar.
Let's be very clear. There was no border czar.
That was then, and Greg, here they are.
President Biden put his vice president, Kamala Harris, in charge of one of his administration's growing challenges. She is now the point person on immigration.
Vice President Harris is now the Biden administration's point person
to oversee his administration's efforts to stem the flow of migrants.
Kamala Harris, the point person on immigration.
The point person in the effort to stop the flow of migrants.
And Kamala Harris will lead the response to the border challenge.
Kamala Harris to lead the White House efforts to tackle migration challenges at the U.S.-Mexico border.
To take the lead on overseeing all of these efforts at the border.
Putting his vice president, Kamala Harris, in charge of this.
Her first big portfolio item
to oversee solutions.
And I have confidence that she's going to do a good job in this role. I think President Biden made a good decision, a wise move.
There you go, Greg. That pretty much wraps it up in about a minute.
Yep, that's what you call mic drop. Boom.
Exactly. There you go. Greg Roberts over at RogueWeather.com. We'll talk next Friday, unless something blows up before then, okay? Take care, Greg.
I sure hope not.
Yep, I hope not, too. I'm kind of going to enjoy this weekend. I hope everybody else does, too. All right, 770-5633, 770-KMED. By the way, Oregon Truck and Auto Authority is the sponsor of the Outdoor Report. They don't sponsor the politics because they're apolitical about this kind of stuff. It's just Greg and me spitballing, as it were, here. All right. What am I going to do here next? What do we do? Could we do a Diner 62 quiz? Why, yes, we could. 770-5633. We will have open phones after the Diner 62 quiz, but let's do a Diner 62 quiz now that we're out of the Outdoor Report, and let's get you fed over at Diner 62. Half ham special for $10.95 right now, 6 to 9, Monday through Friday. Some of the best taco salads here. It's, it's Clam Chowder Friday, and you know it, you love it, and you could win it. 770-5633. All I ask is that you not have won it in the last 60 days and give somebody else a break. So they can win it.
1954, 70.
That's defendfamily.com.
1063 KMED. This is the Bill Myers Show.
733. Today, the first Diner 62 quiz that I've ever had on a serial killer. We don't normally do this, but it just happened to be a particular day in U.S. history. Let me go to the first person here. I don't know who they are, but hopefully you'll win the Diner 62 quiz. Hi, who's this? Good morning.
This is Jack.
Bill. Jack, how you doing? It was today.
Good.
Yeah, it was today in history, Jack. July 26th, 1984. Infamous serial killer Ed Gein dies. Do you remember Ed Gein? Do you recall that guy?
Yeah, sounds familiar.
Yeah, he was a serial killer famous for taking the skin off of human corpses. He died of complications for cancer at the Mental Health Institute of Mendota. He was 77. He served as the inspiration for writer Robert Bloch's character Norman Bates in the 1959 novel Psycho. And then in 1960 was turned into a film, right? So
that's correct.
Hey, say hi to the rooster while you're at it, okay? Ed Gein, born in 1906 to an alcoholic dad, domineering mother, who taught her son that women and sex were evil. And then Gein was raised along with an older brother on an isolated farm in Wisconsin. And after Gein's father died, the future killer's brother died under mysterious circumstances during a fire, and his beloved mother passed away from health problems. So Gein remained on the farm by himself. In November 1957, police found the headless body of a missing store clerk, Bernice Warden, at the farmhouse. And upon further investigation, they found collections of human skulls, furniture and clothing, including a suit made from human body parts. Yikes. I mean, he inspired all sorts of horror movies, really, here, Jack, all right? How many murders was Gein ultimately linked to? Was it 2, 4, 8, 16, or 32? How many murders was this serial killer, Ed Gein, linked to?
Let's go with 2.
Boy, it's going to be a great weekend.
You're a winner!
You're thinking an infamous serial killer had to have lots of them, right?
They should have, but you know we would.
Exactly. And Gein told police he had dug up the graves of recently buried women who reminded him of his mother. Yikes. And they found the remains of 10 women in Gein's home, but he was ultimately linked to just 2 murders, Bernice Warden and another local woman.
Unbelievable.
Hey, you know, have you ever taken this guy to the Rooster Crow? I'm just curious.
Not yet, but I'm thinking about it now that you mention it.
Yeah, you ought to. You ought to. But anyway, 1968, Gein deemed sane enough to stand trial, but a judge ultimately found him guilty by reason of insanity. So that's why he was only tied to 2, okay? Don't murder the rooster. I think he's one you want for next year, okay?
Okay, I'll do that.
All right.
Good idea.
Hang on, Jack. We're going to get you over to Diner 62, and we'll have another one of these coming up, probably on Tuesday. They're always fun. Hi, this is Bill Meyer, and I'm with Charisse from No Wires Now, your Dish Premier local.
Hi, I'm Paul Strandberg with Valley View Nursery, and I'm on KMED.
Yesterday, we were pretty guest-intensive because we were talking a lot, Michael Williams, talking with Michael Williams yesterday, Medford School Board member, about the reassignment of Josh Doney, the SRO, the police officer at South Medford High School, back to patrol. And it's sure looking more and more as if this was done because Doney was actually talking to Michael, maybe some other school board members, I don't know, and being more truthful about the violence and how things are not being dealt with properly in the schools, and it's not helpful for the kids, people getting hot and bothered about that. Then we talked with Ed, Mr. X, who was talking about, hey, we're just connecting it all to restorative justice, and so it's up to us now to make sure that we get our comments into the Medford 549C school board. You got to get rid of these. First off, you got to bring Doney back. There's some possibility. Apparently, everybody loved this guy, and he was doing a pretty darn good job. But ultimately, it's going to be up to us to get our appropriate comments into the board and apply great political pressure to it, because you got to figure bureaucracy is going to circle the wagon, saying nothing to see, move along here, and it's okay. We're following our policy. We're following our policies. And we gave you the information. We have it up on KMED.com on my show blog. If you're looking for it, Ed detailed, here is this. Connect this to this to this to this. Medford 549C is all over restorative justice, which essentially is non-punishment punishment. Anything we can do to keep a dirtbag violent kid in school and in the indigenous circle talking to their, to their victims and everything else. Well, we got to do this because, it's $18,000, $25,000, $30,000 a year in funding. If you kick this kid out, it looks bad on the crime stats. And then maybe you don't get your bonus if you're the superintendent. I don't know how that structure works out, but that's the way it is. Bureaucracies will always try to bury that. So if you wanted to talk about that, that's fine. But we did what we could here to get you informed in it between Michael Williams actually coming forth and being willing to take some incoming, and then Ed connecting the dots on policies that drove this. and they've been there for a long time. They didn't tell anybody, just 2005. Oh, by the way, we're going to start really going easy on the violent kids. You think most parents would have been going, I can't wait for you to go easier on it because my kid's violent and gosh, you know, we have to have diversity, equity, and inclusion, meaning that the violent kids are the diverse ones. That's the diversity. You have violent kids and then nonviolent kids. And there must be a diverse society. I'm not talking about ethnicity. It's like that's the diversity, violent versus nonviolent. And the nonviolent need to understand how to work around the violent kids. They need to figure it out. This is that's where we are. But this is what Oregon does. Oregon always does these kind of social engineering experiences. Okay, so we could do that. We could talk about that, and that's fine. But I think we pretty much covered that. And there's anything else on your mind, I'd love to get to you. I wanted to keep back on what Matt was talking about here a few minutes ago. Matt called in from a GP and was talking about Newsom issuing those orders. Yeah, we were discussing that Governor Newsom in California issued the orders. Hey, clear it up. We're going to be cutting your money, cities, and that this is in essence about cleaning up California for Kamala in the November election. And that they're going to push the homeless into Oregon, Nevada, and other cities because they're going to be tough. Oregon, meanwhile, always willing to do the stupid thing first, ends up taking the rules from the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals and essentially writing legislation to put that in law. So it's still going to be more difficult for us to handle the homelessness than it is in California because they were never even that stupid down in California to have their state legislature said, okay, Ninth Circuit said this, we should kind of put this in our state law. Now, that might get repealed. I don't know. You'd have to get a lot of Democrats willing to fall on their sword. But anyway, we'll see about that. But I'm still seeing plenty of homelessness around here in Southern Oregon. Everywhere you go, and you can kind of see it, and there's always the story. Do you ever run through your head the story? What do you think that person's story is? What do you think that person's story? And you look at the zombie shuffle with the bicycle and maybe the bicycle trailer. I see a lot of that over on the Biddle Road, Crater Lake Avenue kind of thing. And I kind of wonder where a lot of these people go because obviously homeless. A lot of times some will sit by and camp out by Jimmy John's in Medford, kind of around the corner there. Or else they'll sit inside maybe nursing a drink and going on. And I feel great compassion about this. You know, the mushy side of my personality is, hey, there but for the grace of God go any of us, right? And what I was wondering, I wanted to ask you is that have you completely stopped donating anything to any homeless that you might come across? Or do you do a pick and choose sort of thing? Do you sort of take you look at them? For the most part, I don't do a lot of it anymore. I used to do more donating to the homeless a number of years ago, like the white glove lady, Jeanette Royer, who used to populate Medford. She used to go all around Medford. I ended up finding out that there were probably 50 people like me. They were always buying her motel rooms. She was an elderly lady that was in, white gloves and nice and proper and stuff. And yeah, she was a bubble off plum, but harmless, right? Very nice lady. And everyone was buying her a hotel or buying her dinner or lunch at McDonald's. She'd sit there nursing a cup of coffee, and you'd see this little grandmotherly type there. I cannot go. I cannot have my Big Mac or my Whopper or whatever it is and have this little elderly woman in the white gloves sitting next to me and just having, here's a cup of coffee, no calories in it, right, sir? So I said, would you like a meal? She says, yes, I very much would. And so she'd place an order and I'd buy it. And I remember when she died, this was probably about 15 years ago, 15, 16 years ago, we all go to the church and they had a memorial service. And you find out there's about 50 to 100 of us all there, all talking about our stories about taking care of this particular homeless woman. But she's not the kind of homeless woman that we're having right now. Jeanette Royer was was probably a little mentally ill, a little off, but not drug addicted, certainly. And it's a little different now. So I was doing all that back then. Now I'm a little more selective. I still will confess that I do donate to an occasional homeless person, but it's like I'm sizing them up. I'll take a look at one. I'm looking, it's like, okay. First off, I tend to err on the side of elderly folks. See, people who are in their upper ages. I know that there's a whole big problem with elderly folks, a certain portion of homeless that are elderly. I err on the side of helping them if I see someone. And there was a guy I saw yesterday. He was outside of Safeway. I was getting some food for my mom. And he was being very polite, and he was an older gentleman. I'd have to say he's probably in his mid to upper 60s, wearing some American flag-themed clothing. And he was real polite, and he's just saying, well, do you have any particular change? And he was thin, but it wasn't the drugged-out kind of thin. Maybe something else. I don't know. I actually dug into the Forerunner ashtray where I keep a bunch of change, and I put a couple of bucks on top of that. And he immediately went inside Safeway, and I saw he actually bought some food. He bought some food and came out with some food. I waited a little bit. He went inside. He says, oh, this will really help. And he bought some food, and I'm okay with that. I'm all right with buying some food. And I don't say this about saying, hey, what a great guy I am or what a stupid guy I am, but I'm just wondering, do you do any of this anymore, or have you completely cut it off? I'll pick and choose occasionally. And it's almost like, what's your story? What am I thinking? And he wasn't very intrusive. That's also helpful. You know, if you're selling it too much. By the way, I don't tend to donate to the people with dogs. I'm not a big deal on buying pet food for homeless people, but that's just me. We're probably going to be seeing more, though. Do you think we'll see more? Matt thinks we will. I wouldn't be surprised to. Newsom gets rid of some homelessness camps. They're going to go someplace. 770-5633. Talk about that. Anything else on your mind? Let me go to line one. Hi, who's this? Bill. Good morning.
Hi, how are you? Bill, am I on the air?
Yep, you sure are. Who's this?
My name's Randy.
Hi, Randy.
So listen, I got a question on the school funding. We're talking about the thing with South Medford, and I know there's a certain amount of dollars to follow each child that we get from student that we get from the state.
Yeah, the way it's looking, I think in Medford at 549C, it's about 18 grand, maybe a little bit more. Other school districts like Three Rivers, like 30,000. You know, it just depends.
So do you know if a kid gets in trouble and gets expelled for a month, then does the school lose a month's worth of that funding, or if does the kid have to be expelled for the whole year? Is that stuff prorated out?
The way it has been described to me, I can't take it to the bank on this one, but the way it's been explained to me by people involved in the system that, yes, it is a daily, it's like a per diem. So every day that someone is actually expelled is costing, supposedly, the district some money. The way it's been described to me by people in the know, I couldn't guarantee that, but that makes sense. And that's why they keep an eye on the attendance so closely.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, that was the question. Thank you for that answer.
All right. I would imagine, though, that makes that's a real strong incentive to not expel kids, huh?
Well, exactly. I mean, that's got to be that's definitely a job for somebody at the school to keep track of attendance, too.
Indeed. Appreciate the call. Thanks for that. 770-5633. Whatever's on your mind, open phones. I like that. We can noodle around on anything this Friday. Hi, who's this? Good morning.
Good morning. Is that me?
It is. It is you.
Hey, Bill. It's Lynn.
Hi, Lynn.
Phoenix. Hi. Yeah, I wanted to talk about giving money. I will give money for food, especially if I have a chance to talk to somebody. I haven't done it for quite a while.
Yeah.
Maybe because I've been so fed up with the overrunning of homeless people. But what I did stop doing is giving money to Salvation Army, because they were giving out free tents to these people. And I called to find out if that was the case, and they said yes, and they were completely unapologetic about it.
Yeah, I think that, what is the other one? St. Vincent de Paul, I think, was doing the same thing. I don't know if they're still doing that or not.
Okay. Well, I was very disappointed because I've donated to them for many years. But that's just that's totally enabling the bad behavior. And I also want to say I talked to a member of the Medford Livability team in person not long ago, and because I think they've done a great job. It's so much better. And I said, so how many, you know, have any people gotten help? And he said, well, maybe a handful have, you know, gotten clean, gotten jobs, and got their own place to live, but most people know. So I think that help is available for people if they want it. And if they don't, they need to go somewhere else. That's how I feel about it.
Yeah. So. Have you ever done this when, you know, every now and then, and this is not... Every now and then, I just try to read someone. Do you ever try to do that a few times? What do you think is really the story here? And I got to tell you, you know, maybe I'm a sucker for the older folk. I don't know. But
yeah, for sure. Older people and women, you especially feel for.
Yeah. And when I see some, you know, some young guy in his 20s covered in tats, obviously, okay, so you have money for tattoos.
Right.
But you don't have, but you, and you've got a phone, but you don't have money to be able to take care of yourself, nor do you seem to have any incentive to do so. I tend to just turn off right at that, you know, right at that, at that moment. But all right.
I think the last time I talked to somebody, which was at least a year ago, but he was sitting over in the Lithia complex over there. That's the kind of concrete park. I don't remember what you call it, but he was sitting alone on a bench and he looked so miserable. And I just went up and talked to him. I said, would you like a cup of coffee? Because I'd gone to get some coffee at Starbucks. Mm-hmm. And he said, yeah, I'd love it. So I brought him a cup of coffee and I just started talking to him.
What was his story? Do you recall? What did he tell you?
I don't recall, but I know he didn't even know that, you know, that he, just two blocks away was the shelter, the mission. So I said, you know, go down there and they'll help you. And I hope he did. I don't remember what his story was now. But typically with people, they've used up all their family has given up on them and they've lost, you know, and it's usually drugs and alcohol. And it's really sad, but you can overcome it. It's very difficult. But, you know, if people just keep constantly giving them tents and making it, it's just if it's less painful to stay in a free tent and be able to take your drugs, that's what they're going to do. So there just has to be more painful to stay on the street than to go get help, or they never will. Mm-hmm. And that's just a loving thing to do, is to, you know, see to it that it isn't easy for them.
I'm thinking that society is shifting now because Oregon, like I said, will always do the dumb, stupid, mushy thing first. That's what.
Yeah.
That just seems to be what happens, you know, with the way this state is running. On the other hand, you know, do you want to get back to the time in which you had the, you know, vagrant laws in which get out of town, you know, that kind of thing? I don't know.
I'm beginning to understand why we had them. You know, it seemed, you know, back in the 20, 30 years ago, that seemed really harsh.
Yeah. I think more tough love is certainly in order, though. In fact, I'm aware of a police officer that I can't divulge the identity, but I heard this story secondhand, but it was a pretty darn good story. Yeah, a police officer here in Southern Oregon who is well respected by the homeless folks because he'd always listened, and he was considered like one of those people you could go to and he'd listen to you and give you a fair shake. And this guy is not like some mushhead. It's not that at all.
Mm-hmm.
But he's truly a police officer that thinks about kind of the heart of a servant, I think, is a good way of describing this particular police officer. And there was one guy that he was taking into Jackson County Jail one time. And the officer knew that this particular homeless guy had a couple of nice kids, beautiful wife. But he just went off the deep end with drugs and drinking and all the rest of it. And the police officer is taking him to jail, and he's saying, I know what's going on with your family here. What the F is wrong with you? And he kept saying, I don't not get this. What the F is wrong with you? What the F? This is going on and on. And the officer is cussing at him just because it's like trying to drive through kind of like a tough love dad thing.
Right. kind of like a good dad.
Exactly what a good father would do to the son. You know, it's what dad mm-hmm. good dads do. It's just like, what the F's wrong with you? Get your head on straight, yeah. you know?
Right.
And the funny thing is, somehow that broke through to this one particular homeless guy, and he ended up, you know, finding a way to get into an addiction counseling service. He got clean on it. He went to work for a high-tech company and was making really great money now, apparently. And I guess he wow. ran into this police officer. He said, "How are you doing?" He says, "I'm doing great now." And I'd love to hear about more of these kind of stories. And he says, "Every time I was ready to go back to using again, I would just hear your voice in my head saying, what the F is wrong with you?" And it kept him on the straight and narrow. And I just thought, maybe that's what is what needed more. Now, this guy was younger. Yeah, this guy was younger.
And that's a little bit the way the Medford Livability team is. Like mm-hmm. this guy was telling me, you know, and I've watched them in action. They're so patient and respectful and everything. But he said, you know, if they're just do it over and over again, we're not very nice anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's move along.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. Hey, so. Great hearing from you, Lynn. I always appreciate that. 770-5633. If you're on hold, I'll get to your call here in just a minute. This is the Bill Myers Show.